We're back. It's AC Crypto Show. I'm Ryan Grace. With me here today, it's Monday, so of course, Frank Caberna.
What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Frank? Frank, that's like, I think, the worst intro to any show
on the network. Doesn't matter. It's over with, and there's going to be a better one next time, and no one will even remember it.
No, they're going to hear it again on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay.
Frank, I'm taking the gloves off today. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Nice.
With money-making opportunities.
What have you ever been punched in the face before?
Long time ago. It's been a while.
Really?
Since I found myself getting hit in the face.
And this is gloves off, punched in the face.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been punched in the face many times, gloves on.
Okay.
I've only been punched in the face, like two or three times, no gloves. There's a lot more volatility in that. Yeah. For both parties.
But you get hit more often with the gloves on, I think.
Yeah, right? With the gloves on, yeah. But I was actually called, I was boxing at the time. I was doing a lot of sparring, and then I did a charity fight, which I won.
Hell yeah.
Undefeated lifetime. And they called me the Beverly Bleeder. I was from, I'm from Beverly on the south side of Chicago, and my nose would bleed instantly, every single fight. And like, I wouldn't even notice, I wouldn't even care. But yeah, like every fight within like 30 seconds of the first round, like four or five punches in the face, nose bleeding.
It was because you were bleeding.
Yeah, I'm bleeding all the time. Yeah, no, not because I'm, but I mean, I am, it doesn't really matter. I'm undefeated. So, you know, there's
yeah.
that, but.
Well, maybe that, yeah, I mean, they're terrified. They don't want to get your blood all over themselves. I thought it was because you were the Beverly Bleeder. You were making them bleed, but not so much. No. All right. Well, that said, let's jump into it. We're not going to talk about Bitcoin all-time highs. We're not going to pay attention with that nonsense.
Don't need to.
We're going to talk about decentralized exchange liquidity pools. You ready for this, Frank?
I'm very excited. I hope I'm ready. I read through a little of it earlier today, and I feel like I've read white papers and the Uniswap.
You're well read.
But here's the thing. I've read a lot of this stuff, but in classic tasty fashion, Ryan, the textbooks and the white papers and the resources online, they tell you a bunch of words, and I read them four or five times, and I still don't understand necessarily what they all mean. I'm very excited to practically get some knowledge in and be like, okay, this is what liquidity pools actually look like. This is how you take part in them and not just read the words that define them, I guess.
I would say this is semi-heavy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We can get into the weeds. We're going to try not to. We'll try to remove some of the jargon. We're going to build on the DeFi use cases that we talked about last week. But to your point, Frank, I agree. I think there's the read the books, read the white papers, go through all the material approach, which there's nothing wrong with that. I think you do need to understand what you're looking at, understand how it works, et cetera, et cetera. But that said, if you just start to click around, it's a lot easier to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to jump right into one of the biggest decentralized exchanges, which is Uniswap. We've got the wallet connected. I want to give you a little bit of a demo.
Cool.
And so some of these things that we talk about then will become apparent. I think you'll have that aha moment when we're actually going through the interface, because that's probably the best way to learn. Learn by doing. I'm pretty visual. I think you are as well. So we'll do that here.
Yeah.
I'm taking care of you.
I feel like I could almost go back in time and not get my degree from university in mathematics, which was very painstaking and very expensive. And essentially what I learned about options and pricing theory and all these things is like put call parity and all these things that you just absolutely don't really encounter in the live market. And then within, a couple of years in the Board of Trade or at Tasty, you learn these things, and I'm looking for that aha moment, because I've read the papers now, Ryan, for a couple of years, and I still don't really understand what the hell is going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the approach that we're going for here, where you no longer really have to go to college, university, just watch the Tasty Crypto Show.
Yep.
So let's do it. We're going to talk about decentralized exchange. We're going to talk about specifically providing liquidity. That's what this show is on here today, DeFi and liquidity. And then we're going to do a little bit of a Uniswap demo.
Sick.
So, first things first, Frank, decentralized exchange. This to me is one of the, I don't want to say like real use cases, but you know, a lot of times we were joking about this walking over here, you think or ask, is this real?
Yep.
All right, so what's the catch? You know, this is real. This is something where when you think about what it could lead to, we're obviously not there today with the existing financial system. But a lot of times the ways that this is positioned, it's really around this concept of the liquidity layer for blockchain or for DeFi, where if we tokenize anything, in theory, through this mechanism, decentralized exchange, and the way that that works, we can provide liquidity for just about anything. Again, as long as it's represented as a token on a blockchain. And so what we're talking about is just a way to exchange tokens without any intermediary. Gotcha. It all happens directly on chain through a protocol. As a user, and we're gonna do this in the demo, you go to one of these decentralized exchanges, we're gonna look at Uniswap, connect your wallet, and then given that you have a balance in that wallet, if I have Ethereum and I want to swap it for USDC stablecoin, mm-hmm. I can do that through the exchange, and that's against the liquidity that's available on chain. And this all works, again, without any intermediary. So you're going to use what's called an automated market maker. We'll talk a little bit about that. And that automated market maker sources liquidity from participants on the exchange known as liquidity providers.
Okay.
So I'm trying to work through a lot of the jargon here because we're going to come back around to it sure. in just a second. But we're going to focus today on playing the role of a liquidity provider. High level, the concept, like I said, we won't get into the weeds, but that's the way that we're going to approach this because you can participate on a decentralized exchange or through a decentralized exchange, however you want to think about it, as either a trader, where you can go to the exchange, swap that ETH for USDC, or both, I suppose, but or as a liquidity provider.
And so am I right to, if I'm going to analogize this to a centralized exchange, like New York Stock Exchange, to perform any of the actions that essentially are any part of the ecosystem of the exchange in this setting, all I need to do is connect my wallet and have currency.
That's right.
As opposed to, I wouldn't even know all of the red tape that goes into being a part of a centralized exchange, especially as a retail, as an individual. Yeah, how that works out here. It's much more transparent, and the people that are acting on all sides of the exchange. Can be everyday people. There still are institutions involved, I'm sure, providing a ton of liquidity. But you just need to have that wallet connected, and you can, am I right to think you can perform pretty much any part of the ecosystem?
Yeah, you can participate in a way as, I guess you would equate it to, as a market maker, in ways that, not that you can't, but would be extremely difficult for the average person to participate here today in the traditional sense. This is peer-to-peer, it's decentralized, it's permissionless. There's a variety of different ways, again, that you can connect and that you can participate. But I would look at this, and a lot of what we're gonna talk about in DeFi, these use cases, I kind of think of this as like semi-professional, professional.
Okay.
I mean, these are serious things. There's risk involved with this. And when you think about the economics involved with it as well, you want to have some scale.
Sure.
So I don't think that you can come here, and I'll show you in a moment, and create a liquidity pool with $100 mm-hmm. worth of tokens. It's just not going to work like that, at least not on Ethereum. So you do need capital, and you need to understand what you're doing. But that's no different than, let's say, trading options
exactly.
trading futures, right?
There are levels, but there's not the barriers to entry that are essentially, I mean, the way I view it in more traditional centralized exchanges, yeah, you either need to have millions of dollars to start your own liquidity providing company, entity, whatever, or you have to have very high level degrees and get into the system in a very competitive space, essentially.
And I think you're going to see more competition over time.
Sure.
Today, and I've been participating personally for a couple of years now, the margins have been very wide. Mm-hmm. Right, there is the opportunity to make a decent return here participating in this way. It's not to say that there isn't risk, but I do believe that over time, as more people or institutions enter into
Tightens
that
up.
Space, you know, you're going to see those spreads tighten up,
yeah.
right, as you typically do when there's more liquidity. So it's a function of you know, limited participation relative to what you see maybe in other markets at this stage. You know, one of our favorite things to say is it's still early. But these are the basics of decentralized exchange. I want to point to the biggest one right now, which is Uniswap. And we have a couple details that we'll throw up. This is from Token Terminal. So just to give you an idea of the business case around this or what that market opportunity looks like, then we're going to jump into how you actually position for that or take advantage of this market opportunity. When we look at this decentralized exchange, you know, you have some data that's related to the market cap of the token itself, the number of token holders, et cetera, on chain. But then you also have data that's related to, you know, the protocol itself in terms of how much revenue it's generating. When we think about the fees that are being paid to transact on this decentralized exchange, this is the revenue that we're talking about. So over the last 30 days, or the percentage of the last 30 days, you can see it's 25%. But the fees on an annualized basis right now for Uniswap, and I would argue that relative to the peak, when we really saw a lot more activity on chain going back to 21, I think we'll get back to those levels, but we aren't there yet. But if we go back to the peak, you know, we're talking about a protocol that's generating over $1 billion in transactional revenue. Here, we're at 826 million. I just want to focus on that to point out that this is very real. It's not as liquid, it's not as big, and it's early versus anything else that you want to compare it to in the traditional sense, but it's very real.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because especially as we dive deeper into Uniswap, I feel like is probably one of the bigger names of what we're, the avenues that we're exploring on Tasty Crypto here. And yeah, my big question for Ryan all the time, especially talking to different crypto friends and everything else, is like, oh, that's a cool concept, a real creative piece of math that I can appreciate. Is this real? Is anyone in there doing anything? Because without, I mean, and we're going to be talking about liquidity in a big way here today, without liquidity, without people in these protocols that are actually doing stuff, it's just creativity for creativity's sake.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, there's an actual use case here, right? And that's that you need liquidity. I have a token, I want to exchange it into something else. Maybe I want to speculate on something for whatever reason it might be. So I have ETH and I want to swap into that token. You can go to a decentralized exchange like Uniswap, or you can use an application like the Tasty Crypto Wallet, where you can actually trade inside of it, but it's going to leverage this technology. It's going to use the decentralized exchange mechanism to facilitate that transaction, right? To make it happen. And so this does play a role there, where you're seeing a lot of trading activity on chain. It's not just through a big exchange like a Coinbase or a Binance or through a brokerage. A lot of activity is happening directly from participants that are going to connect a wallet to Uniswap or another centralized exchange, and they're going to swap. It's never touching any kind of central authority in that sense. Now, you might move tokens back on off-chain or back to an exchange, I should say, where you have some connection to, you know, the fiat banking system. But here, to trade, you don't actually need that brokerage, that intermediary, that exchange. You need that liquidity, but it's going to be facilitated through this protocol, through this software.
Okay, so just a quick question, because DEX, got it,
decentralized exchange.
Is a Coinbase a centralized exchange?
It's a SEX with a C.
Gotcha. Yeah. SEX with a C. Because I and that is because I am converting fiat currency to these cryptocurrencies, and then I attach that wallet to something like a Uniswap that is then a decentralized exchange. Is that I guess my big question is there a required middleman between me having $10,000 in USD and getting to Uniswap?
Yes. I think when you look at how do you get on chain, right, whether you're using a Coinbase or using Tastytrade to plug the broker for a second, you have to have an account there, and you need to be able to, with your fiat currency, acquire crypto in some way. Kind of think of it as fund your wallet address, right? So with Tastytrade, we'll use that as the example. I can go in and I have a Tastytrade account. I can buy Ethereum. So I've purchased Ethereum. It is associated with my account. It's held at zero hash. And then from there, I can move it to an address that I control myself, that I'm the self-custodian of. No one else has the ability to do anything or take control of that crypto. I've moved it, not that it wasn't on chain, but I like to think about it as being moved on chain. I've moved it out of a brokerage, out of a centralized exchange account, wherever it was being held, because I wasn't actually the owner there. That was a custodial account.
Sure.
I did not hold the keys, but I move it to an address that I actually hold the keys to.
Gotcha.
When you think about the wallet in that sense. So there is that process, but from there, unless you want to go back to the fiat system, right? And maybe I need to realize some of these gains and I want to get back into cash. You're going to have to go back through that process. But from there, when you first move on chain, you can connect to an exchange and you can swap. So you can trade and you're going to have access to, in many cases, a lot of tokens that you might not have access to otherwise, right? And so again, there's risks associated with that. Do your own research. Sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to open the door to these opportunities potentially and you want to gain this access, you can certainly do that.
Perfect. Totally understood.
So that's the decentralized exchange side of it, Frank. I want to talk a little bit more about how this actually works and how you can participate as a liquidity provider. So we're going to jump through this really quickly. What is a liquidity provider? Liquidity providers deposit tokens into liquidity pools or pools and then receive transaction fees from the exchange. I like to think about this almost as being your own brokerage, right? When we trade today with TastyTrade, TastyTrade charges a small commission, TastyTrade receives that commission. Very similar here when I trade on a decentralized exchange. There's a fee or a commission, if you like. But instead of it going to a single company, it's going to go to those that are providing liquidity. Right. It's the incentive mechanism or the reward for providing liquidity. There's risks associated with providing liquidity. We can talk about that in just a second. But instead of those fees going to a company, they're paid out in aggregate to the liquidity providers. So when you're providing capital for a specific pool, call it Ethereum USDC, all that trading activity that's hitting that pool and drawing on that liquidity, you are going to be one of the participants that, if you're filling those orders in a sense, you're receiving a portion of that fee. And it can add up pretty quickly. It's also paid in the cryptocurrencies that you're providing liquidity for. So some interesting dynamics there.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. I mean, anyone that's ever paid a commission or a fee on a stock trade, an options trade, a futures trade, you're essentially saying instead of that fee that your broker is presenting you as, you know, one number, maybe they chop it up and tell you where exactly that the pieces of that number are going, and those pieces go to everybody from companies to regulators to whoever. Instead, it's saying, okay, the cost to enter this market a lot of times is the liquidity, the spread, whatever you want to say, and that fee that you're paying to buy ETH USDC is being chopped up and being presented to the people who are providing liquidity in the liquidity pool that feeds into that market.
Yes, there's a small rate that's going to be charged on the notional value of the transaction, and then it's going to be divvied up.
Gotcha.
In that sense.
Perfect.
So let's take a look at this in practice because it's a little bit easier, I think, to understand it. So we're going to jump over to the actual Uniswap website, and let me just give you a little bit of a demo here in the last 10 minutes or so that we have. I have previously gone in and connected the app. We're not going to set up a pool exactly today. Have some other pools running. I don't have the ability to connect those wallets to this browser to show you what that looks like, but we'll take some screenshots and we'll talk through that because it's important too to see, you know, the size. I'm talking about something that maybe if you have 5,000 to 10,000, I think that's where you could get started. It's not a small amount of money, but it's not hundreds of thousands of dollars either. And you can seriously, depends on the volume, but you can generate returns of 0.5%, 1% a day. It's not going to be consistent on a daily basis, but you know, this is something where you can easily generate upwards of 30%. And I've seen much, much higher rates over time, but on a yearly basis, that's quite the return.
Cool.
So this is uniswap.org. This is the Uniswap protocol website. If you click on launch app, that's going to open up this section where you can actually connect. So here I've gone in, and to do this with the Tasty Crypto wallet, you need to click on Wallet Connect. When you do click Connect to Wallet, it's going to give you the ability to click the Wallet Connect button. It's going to give you a QR code. You just scan the QR code with the camera through the app, and it's going to establish that connection for you. So once it establishes the connection, it's able to see what you have in your wallet. So we've got a little bit of ETH in here and a couple other tokens. You can see your tokens in this wallet that's connected, but we'll just use ETH as the example. Now that I'm connected, I can use the swap component of the exchange. That's what we're looking at here. This is what it looks like if I want to swap. I have ETH, I want to swap it into USDC. I can swap all of it if I want to. So there's about, what, $500 there. You're going to give up a little bit. You know, in percentage terms, it's decent enough. It's probably not as liquid, though this is a pretty liquid pair. Not as liquid as what you might see in, say, Apple stock, for example, where that might be pennies wide. Mm-hmm. But this is a way where I can trade that ETH into any other token, into USDC or anything else that I like. Again, as long as there's liquidity. When I click swap, I'm going to pay the gas fee. You know, certainly gas fees are elevated with what's been going on chain recently and the recent rise in prices. But that's how it works. So you want to trade, you can do this through a decentralized exchange. What I'm more interested in, Frank, is providing liquidity so that this whole process here on screen can happen. And to do that, you need to click on pool. And once you click on pool, you'll see that we don't currently have any liquidity positions. I can click on new position, and this is how I set up the pool. When I do this, I will often look at the Explore tab and check out the analytics for the protocol. You can get a sense of where are the deepest pools, I suppose, where's the liquidity. I want to be in something where, personally, there's a lot of activity, there's a lot of liquidity, and you're going to have something where it's a cryptocurrency like ETH versus a stable coin like the dollar.
Okay.
So I don't have the volatility on both sides of it. I just have the volatility in ETH terms.
And am I right to think that this is a risk-reward efficient market, whereby, like, if you are taking a stable coin out of the equation and choosing two volatile cryptocurrencies like, you know, ETH, Solana, or something like that, and providing liquidity there, your upside might be larger, but your risk might be larger.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Okay. The other way you could look at it on the other side of that spectrum is I might have two stable coins. And the rate to swap from one stablecoin to another stablecoin is going to be extremely low, mm-hmm. but there might still be the demand to swap from USDC to USDT. Maybe you want to use USDT for whatever reason, or you prefer to be in USDC. Doesn't matter, but yes, there is also a market for swapping into different stablecoins, depending on your use case, and there will be a very small fee there. So much lower return. Obviously, much lower risk with, you know, very little volatility unless one of those stable coins were to depeg, gotcha. I suppose. That said, I typically like to trade ETH versus USDC or set the pool up that way. You select your fee tier, so you can see here spot 0.5% and the percentage of participants that typically, you know, more than 50%, I think 61%, select this. You will then go in, you set up your range. And once you've set up your range, you need to actually deposit equal amounts, 50% of both of these tokens in the pool. You can kind of think of it really as two buckets we're filling up with liquid. In one bucket, we're going to put our Ethereum liquid. In the other bucket, we're going to put our USDC liquid. And when people come to the exchange, come to these pools, they might be taking something out of the ETH bucket and putting USDC in. If that's happening, excuse me, the price of ETH is going to be rising, mm-hmm. because you, as the liquidity provider, you're selling ETH, right? ETH's going out of your pool, USDC is coming in. And so that's how you set this up. You go in here and, you know, you can do this in a variety of different ways. A really simple way might just be to look at the implied vol or the actual volatility and then say, okay, if it's been at 60%, what's a one standard deviation move? Maybe I want to look at it at 65 or 70%. So you get a little bit outside of that. And you pick your range based on where you think it's going to be over the next week. There's a lot of different ways that you can set the pool up, but point being, you have to set up, and this is the key, this is kind of what we'll wrap up on, you have to set up the range in which you're going to provide liquidity. Right now, it's extremely tight. It's 3601 and 3608. But we could widen that out so that we're providing liquidity within a range of 3500 and 3700.
Okay.
And so as long as there's trading activity that's occurring between that range, you're going to benefit in terms of generating fees as a liquidity provider.
And so what happens if I hit those ranges?
So what ends up happening, this is where we're going to wrap things up, and we'll talk about this more on the next show. But what ends up happening as you go out of range, your pool goes from being 50% of each token at the beginning to 100% of one of the tokens. Think about it like selling volatility and selling a strangle. If it goes above the top of your range, and we have ETH USDC, you only have USDC left. You've sold all your ETH. It's like a covered call.
Yeah.
If it goes below the bottom of your range, you're only going to have Ethereum. In this case, it's like selling a cash secured put. What you want is a lot of volume and you're effectively short volatility to occur within a very specific range so you can generate fees, which then ultimately is how you calculate the yield on, you know, your capital at risk. So your upside risk is opportunity cost outside of the range. For the most part, it's the difference between what would I have made if I just held ETH and it went all the way up to wherever. And the downside risk is if you go out of range and I'm holding nothing but ETH and it goes to zero, well, it's the equivalent of holding 100% ETH at that price. So your risk is in the worst case scenario, the size of your pool on the downside.
Gotcha. I feel like I understand the basic concept here. I'm excited to attach my own wallet or get in there and actually see this thing play out, see it move and evolve.
Well, you will be able to do this with the Tasty Crypto Wallet. Connects to Uniswap through Wallet Connect like we talked about. So if you're interested in this and more of what we're going to discuss here on the show, go and check it out. Download for the App Store on iOS or Google Play.
Amazing. I already got it.
All right. Frank, thanks for coming on, as always, on Monday. If anybody has any questions about this, this will be reposted on the Tasty Crypto YouTube channel. So drop us a comment, shoot us an email, support@tastycrypto.com. And we're going to do a lot more on this. I know we kind of ran out of time or haven't been able to set up our own pools just yet. But we're going to start to use the wallet to do that and hopefully make a little bit of money in the process. We'll see what happens. At least it'll be a good learning experience for us all.
Well, learning experience is nice. But yeah, making money would be even better, Ryan. But yeah,
absolutely.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you. Come back anytime, Frank.
100%.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. This is a Tasty Crypto Show. I'm Ryan Grace.
I'm Frank Averna.
Peace.
Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.